In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. We didn't know we were blind. How could we? Everyone around us, it turned out, was blind as well. And so we didn't think there was anything wrong with us. We thought at first it was just this lone, crazy Jesus. He was talking in enigmas and mysteries, talking about going to Jerusalem, being rejected, killed, resurrected. We didn't know what he was talking about. He was the Messiah, the Christ. That much was clear to us. How could it possibly be that he was going to die? We were certain, convinced, that his path was the one of victory, that we would walk into Jerusalem, swords out, and that we would conquer the Romans once and for all. But then it wasn't just Jesus who started to see things differently. One of the first times we really took notice was when a physically blind man managed to have more sight than the rest of us. We were all following Jesus into Jerusalem with different plans and ideas, but this physically blind man, once he heard that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he got it. And he started crying out for Jesus, seeing that Jesus was the true fulfillment of David's hope, but not in the way that we were expecting. And he was calling for Jesus to have compassion on him, and Jesus came over and asked him what he wanted. And this man said, "Lord, give me sight." And Jesus healed his physical eyes. But his spiritual eyes had already been working. And then as we entered into Jericho itself, we saw it again, another moment. This time it was a hated Roman tax collector, a traitor. A man who had sold himself out to get rich, to oppress our people at the expense of our own people, he could get rich. And so this Zacchaeus came to Jesus looking for something. We weren't sure. But then Jesus welcomed himself into Zacchaeus' home, and we began to start seeing it, that Zacchaeus could see something we couldn't. For as Jesus was getting mocked and made fun of by those around us and maybe a little bit of ourselves as well, Zacchaeus saw the shame he was bringing on Jesus, and Zacchaeus saw something. We had all been there when the rich man had been asked by Jesus, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor." But Zacchaeus hadn't been there. But Zacchaeus saw something that even we hadn't seen, what the rich man hadn't seen. And Zacchaeus in that moment simply got it. It clicked. No prompting, Zacchaeus said to Jesus, "Lord, half of my possessions I'm giving away to the poor. And with the other half, I'm going to pay back four times what I've stolen and taken from others." And Jesus' response was, "Today, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus has been saved." We had asked Jesus that day when we had encountered the rich man together, "Who can possibly be saved?" Jesus was saying, "Look, the impossible is happening. This Roman oppressor, traitor, one of the wealthiest men in your entire world, is giving away half of his possessions to the poor and then using the other half to pay reparations for his injustice. Salvation has come." We started to see that other people were having the eyes to see, but we still weren't yet getting it. So as we approached Jerusalem, Jesus told us a parable that we thought we understood, and it was only after this parable that the scales fell from our eyes. Jesus told a story about a powerful rich man. A powerful man who had taken rule over an area, and he had employed some people to work on his behalf and to get him more power, more wealth. And these people went to work for him, and they made him more powerful while he was gone. And then when he came back into town, he took over. He put his rule into place, and those who had been working for him to get him richer and more powerful, they gave all their wealth to him, and he praised them and put them into more power. We thought this was the way it was going to go with Jesus. We would charge into Jerusalem. Jesus was the wealthy, powerful leader returning to take over Jerusalem. He would return and he would condemn his enemies. Those who did not get into their place, he would destroy in Jerusalem. The Roman oppressors would go down. Pontius Pilate would be destroyed. We would raise an army. We were the ones who had been working with Jesus to build him into power. We thought we would waltz into Jerusalem and put everyone in their place. But as the story unfolded, we started to see that maybe something different was going on. Maybe who we thought was the hero wasn't. And Jesus in the story had said of a man who refused to play along with the schemes, the oppressive schemes of the world. And this man had stood up to the oppression in his world. And this man had been thrown out of the city and killed. And all of a sudden, we started to realize that maybe the hero of the story was this lone man standing up against oppression. That maybe this is what Jesus had been saying over and over. He kept telling us, I am going to go into Jerusalem. I am going to be rejected. I am going to be killed. Cast out by the authorities. All of a sudden, our blindness went away. We had been putting Jesus into the wrong narrative all along, and suddenly we realized this is what he had been telling us from the beginning. He had told us, we remembered all of a sudden a flashback to that moment where he had said if we wanted to follow him, we had to take up our crosses. Say no to every other master, even ourselves. And he said that day, if you try to save your lives, you will destroy them. But if you're willing to destroy your lives, you will save them. Was Jesus, this lone man in the parable, standing up against the oppression of his world for faithfulness to his heavenly Father? Getting cast out of the city and killed. Jesus was about to walk into Jerusalem to lose his life, not to save it the way that we were all hoping and anticipating. Suddenly our blindness was gone, but we weren't sure we wanted any part of it. How could this be what God wanted for his people? How could this be salvation? We weren't certain, but rumors had circulated that Zacchaeus, after he had joined Jesus, had himself been persecuted severely by the Roman Empire. Some even whispered that he had been killed. If this was Zacchaeus's fate for standing up for truth, and if Jesus was insisting he was going to die for his cause in Jerusalem, what did that mean for us? Our whole notion of salvation was askew. We had been blind our whole lives and we hadn't realized it because everyone else around us had been blind. And then we remember Jesus had taught us that parable. He said, how can a blind person lead another blind person? They'll all end up in the ditch. We realized the entirety of our society and culture was this blind mass of people running headlong into a ditch. We realize now, as Jesus had warned us about Jerusalem collapsing, the sudden collapse of our civilization, he was warning us that we were blindly charging into something that was going to cause pain and heartache for all. Jesus was trying to save us from our blindness. Save us from a way of life we had bought into without realizing was a dead end. That we had been walking around in the dark our whole lives, blind to the real truth of how God was working in the world. And suddenly our eyes were being opened. This was the salvation moment. As Bartimaeus left his life of begging behind, his eyes were opened to follow Jesus into Jerusalem. As Zacchaeus had his eyes opened, he left behind his old masters of the Roman Empire, the master of himself, the master of money. Zacchaeus had his eyes opened and followed Jesus, even to his own persecution. And there was now Jesus going ahead of us into Jerusalem. He started to lead the way. We were all scared. Before, we had been charging ahead of him into Jerusalem because we were anticipating a different kind of salvation when we got there. But now it was Jesus at the front. And hesitatingly behind, we were following. Rejection, he said. Death was ahead of us. But the part that we now needed to hear more than ever, he said on the third day he would be raised. He said God would come through as he had always promised for his people. A remnant he had always promised would be saved. That the dry, dead bones of the people of Israel would raise from their graves and he would put a heart of flesh and a heart of the spirit within them once again. Death was ahead of us if we followed Jesus. But through that death we were learning was our salvation. Would we have the courage to walk with him into Jerusalem? To lose everything we had been previously trying to save in order to find a real salvation. Eyes open wide of a new world, a new way of being in the kingdom of God, under the care of our Heavenly Father, trusting that we didn't need to defend ourselves anymore. We didn't need to try to protect ourselves, provide for ourselves. Our Father would raise us to a new world, a new life. This was salvation. He was calling us to find it in him. Amen.